Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm healthy. I want to stay healthy. I like the idea of what the product is all about. I believe in the body's ability to heal itself, and I also believe that fruits and vegetables from God's great earth are the best way to do that. This is derived right from fruits and vegetables, and there's no extra chemicals involved. And I thought, you know what? If I can just keep my immune system super strong, I'm in favor of it. So far, I've been able to avoid any sicknesses, and I just like to stay out ahead of these things.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Carl Lamar. Think while it's still legal. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Welcome back this Christmas Eve. In his final show of the year, radio great Rush Limbaugh had a message for his listeners that had nothing to do with politics.
My point in all of this today is gratitude. My point in everything today that I share with you about this is to say thanks and to tell everybody involved how much I love you from the bottom of a sizable and growing and still beating heart. I wasn't expected to be alive today. You have an expiration date. A lot of people never get told that, and so they don't face life this way. I've learned what love really is during this.
Hi there. Welcome, Kate Daly Show. So appreciative of you listening in, and of course, the death of Rush Limbaugh. We're all talking about it. You know, the icon, the legend, the one who honestly was conservative talk radio. I mean, that was Rush Limbaugh. And the conversations that he had, getting to people to think, getting them to understand a little bit more about the process in Washington and what was going on. He was fantastic at doing that. And I appreciate his life's work. I had his, before we bring on Melissa, I had his brother, David Limbaugh, on the show. Terrific author, right? New York Times bestselling author multiple times. And David also, I guess, on many TV shows. He was on talking about Rush, talking about what it was like to grow up in his family. We asked him about politics, and I just wanted to share this very, very quick minute and a half snippet from that show for you. This is David Limbaugh, Rush's brother, talking about what it was like to grow up and what conservative talk has done. Here you go. David, were you raised in a really, really political family growing up when you guys were really little, teens and so forth? Yes?
Yes. 100,000%.
Wow. Wow. So you had some lively dinner talk, I'm sure. Dinner table talk.
We had some lively... We sat around and listened to my dad pontificate, if that's what you mean.
Was everybody on the same page ideology-wise, or was everybody a little different?
Well, we're like many versions of the left, the adult left today. We didn't dare disagree.
Oh, yes, I bet. I just wondered what that was like for you growing up. My mom made us read the newspaper before we sat down to breakfast, and I wondered what that was like.
That's exactly what my sons will say someday.
Yep, it's true. Go ahead.
Well, humor aside, he taught us to think for ourselves.
Good.
Being a conservative is thinking for yourself.
Of course.
The mainstream media, even back then, was very liberal and denied it. Mm-hmm. They editorialized while... They pretended to be delivering news, and my dad would be furious, and he would, you know, he'd yell at Walter Cronkite and all these guys. Now, Eric Severide came on, and they said this is commentary, but they were editorializing when they were delivering the news, too, and it infuriated him.
I love that. Anyway, I wanted to play that for you. It was such a sweet, sweet story, and I can't even imagine what dinner table talk was like growing up with these guys, and especially their father. But tribute to Rush Limbaugh and, of course, his wonderful years on the air. You know, Melissa, welcome to the program. I know that you listened to Rush as well.
I did. I was just sitting here thinking about how far back I can go, and I'm at least a 30-year listener.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, because my son is 22, and I was listening for at least 10 years before that. So.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. You know, a lot of people have that same story. Once they started listening, they didn't stop. And, I remember seeing a documentary where this very, very leftist, liberal, progressive decided to do a documentary about her father and how her father was devoted to listening to Rush. And everything this girl was saying was wonky and nuts. And everything her father believed in was actually pretty reasonable. And she tried to paint the documentary as if he was the crazy one. And she looked more and more crazy throughout, trying to get him away from Rush's influence. It was a very, very weird documentary. But something, of course, that Hollywood would embrace, right? And I look at the way that Huffington Post was painting him today. They had all kinds of names for him. And, oh, he talked about conspiracies. No, actually, he didn't. He actually talked about the right-left paradigm. He talked about what the left was up to. And nobody had done that before. Nobody had actually pointed that out on a daily basis. Now we know both sides of the aisle are completely atrocious. But I have to say, though, that he started that conversation and he made people realize that the reasoning behind the leftist agenda wasn't there. There was no reason or logic to it. And I really appreciated that about him. He was very articulate, very good.
Yeah, and he did it with a lot of humor and a lot of style. You couldn't help but kind of giggle at some of the parody songs that were on his show, at some of the kind of tongue-in-cheek mockery, which some of these people deserve. They deserve it on a much more regular basis than they get it now.
Oh, I agree. Sarcasm. I mean, he was really good, and he'll always be the legend. He'll always be what conservative talk really became and is, and he was the one that everybody tuned into. I mean, his audience, the largest, and he's on the most stations, over 600 stations across the country. You just can't have a footprint like he had it. There'll never be another Rush Limbaugh.
Well, I'll tell you, back when I was a very young listener, I never would have guessed that I would be where I am talking to you right now.
Yeah.
Listening to Rush Limbaugh on the radio, I mean, he was a lone voice out there. I never, ever would have seen myself doing this now. So, you know, everybody who speaks on the radio in one way or another owes a debt to his revival, for one, of AM radio. And number two, of just, you know, giving people the courage to speak up.
Yeah, I do. I love that. I find it interesting, too, that, you know, Hollywood and the government really, really took over the news media. But the radio never really succeeded with liberal talk. And there's a reason for that. I think the messages that come across when you're listening word by word are much different. We're not sitting there captivated by nice teeth and nice hair. We are listening to the words being said. And my hope for, I'm serious, I think that's really why it succeeded. And then, you had the personality of Rush Limbaugh that really enticed people to watch, you know, to listen to him. But I hope now that the future of radio will be looking at both sides of the aisle, plainly understanding that they are working in concert, and that talk radio, we just need to be extremely bold right now while we still have the medium, because I actually think that they're really going to go after this medium for sure. No doubt in my mind. We've got to support truth in media.
Well, be on the lookout for a little nudge campaign like every other campaign that the leftists manage. And I have already heard that radios are going to phase away. I mean, how many hours did you spend listening to Rush in a car?
Yeah.
That I spent a lot of years driving kids here and there and with kids in my car and going places with Rush on the radio in the car.
Right.
And I think that's the next thing. They're going to phase out radios, period. Mm-hmm. It will, that alone would put an end to the voices on the radio.
Yeah, going online. But then again, shows like this and shows like the other conservative talk radio can be online and in that forum. And we'll, you know, we'll work to adjust. We always adjust. But the voice of the people, the voice that needs to be said, the ones that will go behind the scenes. I really appreciated Rush poking a hole in the COVID narrative. He needed to. I was glad he did it. I was glad to see that. He didn't go down the conspiracy trail. He actually really didn't. He actually, and it really, they're not conspiracies. We know there are so many facts now to prop up the stories of the past, but he didn't go there. He actually stuck to the right-left issues more, just about the mechanisms in Washington. And he let people know what it was like trying to work within what we have produced in Washington, which is a total nightmare mess swamp. But I loved that he was starting to, he really was pointing out some truth, and I love that about what he was able to do towards the end as well with COVID. That was great to see that. I was actually really glad because hardly anyone was doing it, even in conservative talk. And even at the end of his life, he knew what was coming, and I'm glad that he at least spoke bluntly about that. That was awesome, and I really appreciate his whole life's work. A lot of you listeners listen today to talk radio because of Rush Limbaugh, so my hat's off to him and his family. I can't imagine what they're going through today, but it was sad to see him go. Really, really sad. He will be missed. There'll never be another Rush. But a fantastic presenter of information for sure. We have so much to talk about. By the way, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, will be on the show Friday to talk about, yes, the very thing we're not allowed to say in the medium of media. Yes, the fraudulent election. He'll be on Friday to talk about that. And his new movie, Absolute Proof. And tomorrow we have Chris Ann Hall, and working on a lot of guests right now. But man alive, it was hard news to wake up to that this morning because of all the things I kept thinking about with talk radio and the impact that it's had. And the news being so mean to him today. It was amazing to watch how low they would go and how desperate they've become. I mean, they can't even be classy enough just to say that somebody passed away. They were basically just tromping on him. And I thought, I'm glad, though, in one way, because you get to see how desperate the media has become. And it just, they're so overplaying their desperate hand that maybe people will finally wake up to how horrid they've become. So that's good, because I know that Rush wanted to poke a hole in that media narrative. He was constantly talking about the drive-bys and all of the things that he talked about on a show. So I'm really grateful for him. What a life. Jeez. Okay. So we have about a minute, but do you want to introduce what we're going to be talking about when we come back?
Yeah. There's a parallel story out of ancient history with, I think we can make a pretty strong case, is happening in the United States today. Okay. In ancient Greece, it's the 30 tyrants of Athens, mm-hmm. and they were not loyal. I'll tell the story when we come back. Worth a listen, because I think ancient history has a lot to teach us on both ends of the story. How did the Athenians get into the spot they were, and how did it end up? It didn't end the way they thought it would.
This is going to be really good. You know, I was talking in a previous local hour about water futures, and that's kind of the new, besides gold and silver, this is kind of the new impactful, keep your eye on this. And they keep telling us we're going to have all these shortages coming. They keep telling us food and water shortage. So definitely man-made, because there's no reason for this whatsoever. But I've been thinking a lot about this and about what's coming, and we need to get prepared. And obviously, we need to learn from history right now. Because history is our best teacher on, number one, what's coming, and number two, how to deal with it differently. Be right back. Let's hear the story. The 30 Tyrants. We'll be right back with Melissa. Don't go anywhere. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I went back to Ohio. But my city was gone. There was no train station.
Hi there. Yes, that was the show that started Rush Off. And, of course, the music station said, absolutely, the ones that owned the rights to the music, the Pretenders, My City Was Gone, said, no more, you can't do it. And EMI. And of course, Chrissy Hynde was in an interview of the Pretenders, and she said, no, I don't mind if he uses the song. So they came to an agreement, and now they, and then he used the song, My City Was Gone. It was one of his favorites. I'm back here with Melissa. We do have a caller. We'll take the caller, and then I want to launch into this subject with Melissa. Oh, never mind. They hung up. So this is live radio, people. All right, Melissa, welcome back to the show. Let me go ahead and cut the music. And of course, we got to talk about Athens. Let's learn something today. Let's learn a lesson, shall we?
Yeah. So let me try to boil this down to its most essential ingredients.
Okay.
So this is the days of the Peloponnesian Wars. So Athens and Sparta are fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sparta is a military dictatorship, essentially, and Athens, the model of democracy, right?
Right.
At this point, during the Peloponnesian Wars, Sparta has defeated Athens. And so Lysander, the Spartan military general, has taken over the government. But he doesn't want to make it look too oppressive, right? And so he looks for some people who are pro-Spartan to lead the government.
Hmm.
They dispatched the government that the Athenians had elected, because, of course, they were fighting against Sparta. And instead he picks 30 people out of the citizenry of Athens that had supported Sparta.
Okay.
And makes them a committee of sorts to rule over Athens. The people called them the 30 tyrants, and mostly because there's only 30 of them, because they couldn't find any more people, because most of the people of Athens are not supportive of Sparta. So these 30, the first thing that they do is they begin to undo Athens' democratic elections, the laws that had governed Athens traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
They stripped citizens of many of their rights, including the rights to vote, and instead began to appoint their friends and family to members of, you know, to political appointments. They overthrow the judicial system of Athens and appoint a council of what they call the Council of 500, so that citizens now have no voice in their judicial system. Now it's the council, which is subservient to the 30 tyrants. Then they stripped everyone of their ability to participate in the democracy and only reappointed people as they were proved to be trustworthy. So there were about 3,000 Athenians in total that were allowed to participate in any way in their government.
Hmm.
And they stripped Athenian citizens of their right to carry weapons. They stripped Athenian citizens of the right to have a jury trial, and even a right to reside within the city limits, within the boundaries of Athens proper. Was there an uprising? No. They had just been defeated by Sparta. The people are pretty passive, and those that do decide to protest against the 30 tyrants are either exiled or killed, executed, and in either event, they had all of their property taken from them, and that property went to the benefit of the 30 tyrants and their friends and family.
Wow.
So how long do these 30 tyrants have control of Athens? You think it was a long time?
One would think.
It was only 8 months. They had control of Athens for about 8 months before all the people had been exiled banded together and said, okay, we're done with this. We're going in and we're going to take Athens back, which is what they did. However, the damage, you know, a lot of that damage was done. 5% of the Athenian citizenry had been killed in that 8-month period.
Jeez.
It was truly a reign of terror.
8 months, though. So, I mean, you know, it's interesting to look at that time period. I mean, it's such a short time period, but they went that far to cause that type of rebellion that quickly because they went that far, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm going to ask Kate, do we have any parallels happening now? So here we're going to boil this down to its most essential ingredients. Mm-hmm. We have a ruling class disconnected, although they look like Athenians and they are Athenians. They are completely disconnected from the citizenry over whom they are trying to rule.
Right.
While they are beholden to a foreign power that is manipulating them.
So
sound
true.
Familiar?
Yes. And what's even more twisted is that they have used, I mean, obviously it's not reason and logic, but they have used a story like this to promote themselves as the people taking it back, which is a complete farce. But there are so many people in our country who have been propagandized to, who actually think that they're winning America back now, even though what they're doing is hijacking this country. But isn't that kind of amazing that they probably think they're the good guys in the story? There are some people out there that have been swept up into this false thinking paradigm, strange paradigm, right? Because they were told for so long to hate anyone that was for this country. It's kind of amazing to watch the groups and what they believe. It's strange.
Yeah. So what they're doing, and I thought this was a really interesting analysis, that when we see, what is it that unites the people of America together? Is it the Constitution? Well, partly. Is it the rule of law? Partly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have seen the people who are I'll just say it straight up. The people who are in the ruling class right now are what I call the China class.
Yeah.
They are all in with the CCP. And so when you see people who are denigrating the national anthem or our history, our monuments, all of it, the Constitution, our judicial system, all of that, what is really in play? They are, you know, what is, I think Kamala Harris calls it social transformation.
Scary words.
scary words from a scary woman.
Yeah. And when I said that they think they're on this path to restore, the people were swept into that. The people at the helm doing this are not, they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly who their allegiance is to, but they brainwashed the people to think that is restorative at all. Cause I know good people who actually think that they're restoring America. And they're doing it under the guise of this. But you can't look at the fruit of what's going on and not identify who the good guys are and who the bad guys are in this. So it's kind of interesting what they've been able to do to propagandize to a very dumbed down public. But that public thinks that these people are doing something for America. You can't look at a tyrant like Biden and look at all the executive actions he did that you pointed out, I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and say that that's how this is supposed to go down, because it's the opposite, right? But what you're talking about is that resistant movement that cropped up so quickly because they went so far that they knew really they didn't have anything to lose at that point, right?
Well, I think this has been coming over the horizon for a lot longer than we think.
Yeah.
You know, when a movement reaches critical mass, then the snowball is rolling so fast down the hill, you can't stop it. And I think we're kind of, I think COVID was the critical mass moment and the snowball began to run so fast. But I thought this was really, really an interesting turn of phrase here. America is no longer viewed as the beacon of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're nothing but systemic racism, right? So what if local shops and family-owned restaurants and small farms are ruined by Amazon's monopolies? Under the cover of COVID regulations, Americans deserve what they're getting. And Jeff Bezos warehouses are always hiring if you need a new job.
Ooh.
Ouch. Aren't Google, Twitter, and Facebook using their government-protected monopolies to censor speech? Yes, and you should thank them for their service in protecting you from Russian disinformation.
Oh, my gosh. It's so warped.
Is that not where we are?
No, that is. It's exactly where we are. They're even going after private messenger now. So, yes, you're exactly right. This is, we're there. We're there.
So, I'd like to turn the clock back a little bit and talk about what the heck, when did... You know what? I grew up during the Cold War, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have clear memories of Cold War times. And Russians and communism was evil. That's just evil. We were watching a movie the other day, and one of the lines in the movie was, let's go get those blankety-blank communists.
Right.
And everyone in my household, we all looked at each other and said, oh my gosh, now we're the communists. Right?
Yeah. They'd like us to be.
When did that happen? When did that transformation happen? And it's crazy because I think what happened, if we go back to the Biden administration, or not Biden, Biden was there, but if we go back to the Obama administration and we see how some of the things, the agendas that were being pushed, and corporate interests aligned with party interests, and everybody got in bed with the CCP under the banner of globalism. How long has globalism been an issue? What's kind of interesting, you wouldn't imagine, right, that LeBron James would be in the same philosophical place as the CEO of Apple Computers.
Right.
So why are they? Oh, it has to do with LeBron James and Nike manufacturing in China and Apple computers, iPhones being manufactured in China.
Yeah.
So corporate interests have said, you know what? Why did they look to China for, and we can go all the way back and talk about Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon if you want to. What was so alluring about China?
Right.
Big markets, cheap labor.
Yeah.
And it totally subverted the corporate world into saying, we have to be there. We can't sell our stuff to just the people we've been selling it to. We have to make it cheaper. We have to make it, we have to, by the time we get to Clinton, Clinton disconnected trade from human rights. He said, it's okay. We don't care if China has really bad human rights record. We're going to separate human rights issues from trade issues. Isn't he saying, in effect, we're going to put sales over people?
Yeah, and also we're going to look the other way because whenever they wanted to install the guy they wanted, they would put them together. And so they would make the human rights the issue. Also, you could go back to Norman Dodd in education, the hijacking of education, and also the Declaration of Interdependence from the 40s. I mean, just some crazy, if you go all the way back, it's just amazing the steps that...
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Little tribute there to Rush Limbaugh. Passed away today, age 70, lung cancer. He will be missed. I can't imagine not hearing that voice anymore. I welcome you back. Make sure you get over to Balance of Nature. You know, we're going to be doing some more shows about our food supply with Melissa. And I'm telling you, I would get Balance of Nature and I would actually order it in bulk. If I were you, I'd have it on your cupboard, inside your cupboard. I would make sure that you had plenty of it. Those nutrients from all the vitamins and minerals, everything that's in this product, 31 fruits and vegetables dehydrated down, and they give you the nutrients. They take the air and water out and they give you the nutrients. When I was doing my research on this product, let me just tell you, it was head and shoulders above all others because they put the most in this product for the best price. And I couldn't believe they had both of those components. So make sure you go to Balance of Nature and put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E. ATE, and you'll get 35% off and free shipping. It's guaranteed. You can try it out. You'll notice a difference in about a week to 2 weeks. Uncle Milty felt it in about a week. He's actually lost weight because his sugar cravings went away. Amazing product. You will love this, and it will really shore up your immunity. Do something real for your body. Balance of Nature. Give it the nutrients it's craving. Balanceofnature.com. You also get a free health coach, so it's really cool. I want to go back to what we were talking about, and I have to say, one of the things I think that was the most pivotal in transforming how we got here, the hijacking of America, was the awesome Norman Dodd was in 1953 the chief investigator for the Special Committee on Tax-Exempt Foundations, and he looked into the Carnegie Foundation, and what he found was horrid. In fact, they had a trustee meeting at the time, and they raised a very specific question. This was 1908. This is when the year they convened. They began operations, the Carnegie Foundation. And they discussed the balance of the year, and they talked about the fact that this was going to be how they were going to sell war to us. What were they going to do? Was there any means no more effective than war, assuming you wish to alter the life of an entire people? And they concluded that no more effective means to that and is known to humanity than war. How could they alter the people? And so by then in 1909, they raised the second question and they discussed it. How do we involve United States in a war? This was in 1908 and 1909. He came across the notes of their foundation, and then when he was doing his investigation, and then they went after education. They realized that they had to start working on education so they could transform America so that we wouldn't be connected to our education anymore, I mean, to our history anymore. So they set about making sure that teachers were trained in Europe, they would come back over, and they would basically propagandize a new form of American history to us, because we're the product of that. If you're listening in alive today, you are a product of this. So the Carnegie Foundation in the early 1900s set out to first get us into war because they said it could change a people and then take away our history, which meant that they could change education forever. And these are the same culprits today that came from that same line of thinking with the Carnegie Foundation that are running our country. Amazing.
It's crazy stuff.
It's
crazy.
Yeah.
But they have to separate us from our history.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, because history is a unifying factor.
Right.
A common history can be tremendously unifying. And if they can separate us from that,
yeah,
then where are we?
Well, they built their own stable of historians to teach it wrong, to give us a history that we didn't have. And this is why today we're still talking about how racist we are. We're not a racist country. But that's what's on everybody's lips because we're told we are. If we knew our history, we could blow a hole through that.
I think too we need to have clear-eyed vision that what was happening in 1909 and 1908, that's just a general plan to take down freedom in the United States. What has happened recently, like I said, it starts with Henry Kissinger, really. Is the wholesale selling of the United States to the Chinese technocrats.
Yep. Trilateral Commission, early 1970s.
Absolutely. So let's talk after Kissinger. Like I said, it's kind of interesting that we have this huge Cold War with the Russians and communists are vilified. When the Soviet Union falls apart, Why do we now not see the communists in mm-hmm. China?
Mm-hmm.
Why is Chinese communism okay, whereas Russian communism was not okay?
You're right.
And
yeah,
the reason why I'm telling you now, I already labeled it, is called huge markets and cheap labor.
Mm.
And companies like Apple and Nike and Adidas and a whole host of them, they're not really concerned about Uyghur slave labor. Mm-hmm. They just really don't want to talk about that. And Bill Clinton said, we don't have to talk about that. We're not going to talk about, because the CIA said, you know what? We don't want you to talk about the relationship that the Chinese government has with our American research universities, because mm-hmm. we don't want to talk about that.
Right.
That's not what we want. Somehow or other, this monster baby was born in which corporate America And the one-party system, all the elites fell in love with that. We can have a one-party system. Think of the control and power we can have.
And the money we can make.
Think of all the money we can give to our friends and family.
Right, right.
And we're not going to tell the people we're doing that. We're just going to do it. Let's talk about for a minute Dianne Feinstein, who was the mayor of San Francisco before she was in Congress. Mm-hmm. She befriended Jiang Zemin, who was then the mayor of Shanghai, China. And where did he go? He eventually became the president of China. And Jiang Zemin helped her husband to become a very wealthy man. Isn't that nice? Yeah. You know, we can help our friends and family with big chunks of change from China.
Mm-hmm.
Zhang consolidated his power by sending tanks into Tiananmen Square.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy who made Dianne Feinstein a wealthy woman.
It's
you know that Tiananmen Square thing that we don't talk about hardly ever anymore?
Right.
You know that one thing where a lot of people were just like, oh, was that insurrection?
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, the thought occurred to me today, looking at the pictures of the Capitol with barbed wire around that, has that become our forbidden city now?
You know,
no, the people will not come in.
Looks
here.
Like it. This yeah. Is, you're right.
This is, it's, if you think about the optics of a city that's walled off, they don't get to call it the people's house anymore.
Well, no, the country can't be walled off, but the city is for their protection.
Just like the
from
Forbidden
what?
City was.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
a very Chinese image. Mm-hmm. It really, really is.
Right. For a siege that's not happening. Yeah.
We have people who are untouchable that work behind these barbed wire fences, and you will not come in here and you will not ask us to account for ourselves. You will not do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got people like McConnell, Mitch McConnell, who's the second wealthiest man in Congress from the Chinese. And his wife, who's Chinese, Mitch McConnell's father-in-law has helped to make him a wealthy man who is directly connected to the CCP's power structure.
Right.
And it's not an accident. It's not like, oh, love is love. And Mitch McConnell just happened to fall in love with a Chinese woman who's completely connected to the power structure back in Beijing.
Right, right. Who, by the way, was more involved in the Capitol false flag than most people want to realize. Mitch McConnell. In
well,
wanting to create
was.
A mess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would backfire on Trump. Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, this is crazy stuff. I don't fully understand why companies like, and we can, let's talk for a minute about Trump. I think Trump really did. He tried to back the United States away from China, and that didn't go down well with anybody in the U.S. or in Beijing, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think we've seen Beijing begin to call their markers in.
Right.
But companies like Ford or FedEx, Honeywell, Qualcomm, who like, please, we have to be able to continue to sell our semiconductors in China or we wouldn't have any business, right?
Sure.
The Chamber of Commerce. Why is the United States Chamber of Commerce concerned about employment in China? Can someone explain that to me?
Yeah, there is no explaining.
I need to know the answer to that.
We've sold ourselves out and we've been doing it for so long and we've sold secrets. The whole Clinton era was about selling secrets to China, giving them an advantage and making sure that they had at least what we had. But it was disgusting. And none of these people will go down for treason. They'll all, to the victors, you know, as the John Birch Society says, to the victors go the monuments, right? And of the New World Order. And so they're the ones that get all the praise in the media, but they actually sold our country out 100%.
Well, when you have the CIA bullying their own analysts to write reports that are more favorable to China,
right.
Something is badly wrong.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is something very badly wrong. And I think COVID, as Trump began to, I think the China party in the U.S. actually, I think Trump would call that the swamp. We all have been calling it the swamp, but it's really the China party. And they were much bigger and more formidable than even Donald Trump realized.
Mm-hmm.
He I think there is so much. Who did recognize it? Well, I think there were about 70 million people who got it.
Right.
Because we're watching the greatest transfer of wealth from the middle class to the China Party elites that has ever happened. And it happened, at least in part, because of COVID, the disease that was brought here from China.
Mm-hmm.
You think the Chinese were not very interested in making sure that Trump got taken down?
Yeah.
And so let's walk through very quickly. Wuhan had in 2019, in the summer of 2019, the government in Wuhan was going to build another incinerator, a garbage mm-hmm. incinerator. And the people in Wuhan got angry about it because air pollution is already a horror in China.
Right.
And so they took to the streets and began to protest. And how do you keep protest from going viral? They were afraid because similar incinerators had been built in other cities. And the Chinese communist government does not want protests nationwide mm-hmm. to break out. So how do you control a protest? You quarantine it.
Yeah.
Which is what they did to
Wuhan.
Right
out of their playbook. Mm-hmm.
It's straight out of their playbook. Listen to this little quote. This is a real gem here. The leading members of a city, state, or nation do not ever imprison their own people unless they mean to signal that they are imposing collective punishment on the population at large.
Hmm.
That's exactly what China was doing when these protests broke out over bad air pollution. They quarantined the city and began to arrest all the leaders. And that has a tendency to kind of tamp down the problem, right?
Sure.
So when in American history have mass nationwide quarantines ever been a part of our health policy?
Because they're ridiculous. You're right. We've never, and everybody forgot they had an immune system that works. It's amazing. But yes, the people can be conned into thinking that it's necessary because we've seen China, pictures of people in China doing it, right?
Yep. And how do we make sure, you know, part of the strategy of a quarantine is to keep people isolated and in fear, because a fearful, isolated people, mm-hmm. you know, begging for their $600 are much easier to control.
I agree.
This is not, none of this, we better wake up and just like get clear-eyed vision that none of what's going on in the country with COVID is really about our health. It's really about scare and intimidation and quarantine.
Yep. Yep. And then
quarantine is not about our mm-hmm. health either.
Right.
Because you've talked about this. I've talked about this. Mm-hmm. We've all talked about this. We quarantine sick people, not well people.
One would think, in fact, what did Mark Zuckerberg came out and say? And then all of a sudden he wanted to reverse what he was saying because it didn't really go with what he should be saying. He said this. Ready? Here we go.
I'm playing. I share some caution on this because we just don't know the long term side effects of basically modifying people's DNA and RNA.
Yeah, we don't know the long term side effects of manipulating people's RNA and DNA. And so there's so much more at stake here. But you're right. We followed the Chinese playbook in this because we had seen pictures, you know, and it's sold here in America. And we're being led into a gene altering shot, which has no COVID in it. There's no vaccine really for COVID. And we're being led down this road that we won't be able to come back from if we go down too far. And who knows? Have we already missed that point? I don't know. But this has been going on, you're right, for a long time. Little pieces traded away.
Well, here's the connection at the very end here.
Okay.
The new American oligarchy believes that democracy's failure are proof of their right to power.
Ooh. A lot of food for thought. Thank you, Melissa. Really appreciate that. I really appreciate it. And the story of Sparta. Wow. We'll be right back with Susan. Don't go anywhere. And of course, Rush Limbaugh passing away today. Huge news for the conservative world. And of course, we'll be right back. KateDalyRadio.com.